Hi, I'm Stephen Walsh. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 15th of 1999. I'm extremely nervous tonight, although I speak in front of large groups all the time, but I should probably start out by saying thanks for all the cash. You're way too kind. I know we do it one day at a time, but it looks like there's enough there to last for a while. I'm not surprised that there aren't many newcomers here tonight because it is Cinco de Mayo. I can't think of a self-respecting alcoholic looking at his watch wouldn't say, well, let's quit tomorrow. But anyway, I get to talk about the first step tonight. And that's, I was powerless over alcohol and my life was unmanageable. And since there are no newcomers, I guess I'll just talk to you all. You've had this experience before. When I got here, I didn't have a serious problem with alcohol. I knew I drank way too much. I knew I drank all the time. My wife was getting out of treatment. I knew she had a problem with alcohol. But it didn't really occur to me that, you know, that I just drank all the time. You know, I had a job. I kept the lawn mowed. And the car was generally washed. And it just didn't seem to be a big deal. I came from a long line of alcoholics. And, you know, my dad, my brothers, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, even the neighbors, we all seemed to gravitate to each other. My best friend's parents were alcoholics, and he grew up to be one himself. In fact, most of my best friends are alcoholics. But anyway, I remember when I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I looked around and I thought to myself, because I'd never been to an AA meeting before, and other than, you know, hearing them, you know, mentioned, I didn't really know that much about AA, but I looked around and I thought, now these people are messed up. You know, they got problems. And I remember I kind of got kicked out of my first AA meeting because I went for the cake too soon. And on the second day, my wife's treatment counselor had arranged for me to attend an intake assessment or something at a hospital that had a treatment center. And I remember it lasted for about 2.5 hours. And for the very first time in my life, because I'm a champion of denial. And I really didn't think that I had a problem. I had 3 drunk driving tickets by the time I was 20. The county put me through an outpatient treatment program. And somehow or another, the message that I got there, and I'm not sure it's the one they were trying to deliver, but the message I got was that as long as I could control my drinking, that I could keep drinking. And, you know, somewhere in there I realized I was an alcoholic, but I thought, you know, that as long as I could control my drinking, that, you know, I could keep drinking. And somehow or another, you know, I probably articulated that decision, you know, quite a bit. But as time went on, it just got down to the point, if I didn't get another drunk driving ticket, I was okay. And I remember in the last 3 months before my sobriety date, I got pulled over twice. And then the third time, the cop showed up at my house. And that doesn't include the time that my son had to come out and wake me up. That was actually my first sobriety date. It should have been July 14th. But what happened was I forgot that I was going to quit drinking that day. I went golfing, had a beer, and I figured, well, you know, I was even big on signs, you know, divine signs even before AA, you know, and I figured, well, I forgot I had a beer. I might as well, you know, have one more big night out. And I remember I woke up, my car was up against the garage, and the motor was running, and paint was boiling on the hood, and my son came out and woke me up, and I went inside, and I apologized to him, and he said, why don't you go apologize to the neighbors? He said, they're the ones that had to come get me out of bed to come wake you up because they could see your car was in gear, and they were afraid of what happened if they startled you. So anyway, that was my last drinking episode, and I haven't forgotten it. But anyway, I went to that alcohol assessment session, and I did, you know, I had not an employer, but the employer's wife was worried for some time about my drinking. And of course I had members of my family that were worried about my drinking. My wife, she wasn't worried about my drinking. But a lot of people were, but for the very first time, I was giving this guy all these answers, and I'd done it so many times before over the years. I mean, I even had the conversation with myself, you know, and I'd say, like, you know, is things okay? Are things getting out of control? And for the very first time, I kind of like saw myself responding to his questions. And, you know, I remember thinking to myself, it was kind of an out-of-body experience. I said, geez, I hope he's buying this shit, you know, because, you know, it just for the first time, once. Okay. Anyway, I wasn't buying it. So anyway, I went to my second AA meeting that night, and I saw a lot. I attend meetings out in Beaverton, so you see the same group of people at every meeting. There's only like, I think there's a total of maybe 35 sober people in Beaverton. They just go from meeting to meeting. So, but anyway, I saw the same group of people, but I mean, they were entirely different. And I remember sitting in that meeting, and I could hardly, you know, I could hardly control myself or conceal my excitement about, you know, being in an AA meeting. But there was no way I was going to come clean in front of my wife. So this went on for about 3 weeks until she decided that Alcoholics Anonymous was not for her, and she decided she was going to quit going to meetings. And I was so excited that first night she bailed out. I ran down to this meeting. It was called Raleigh Hills AA, when they asked me to introduce myself, my mouth opened up and I started to cry, and I cried the whole night. Well, not the whole night, but for an hour and 15 minutes. In fact, one of my friends was good enough to bring these for me tonight, and I'm taking a solemn oath all day long, and I'm going to sit up here and try not to cry, but I hear some people come up here to this podium and say, "I'm honored to be here." It has nothing to do with honor in my case. It's just sheer luck. I am the only member of my family in recovery. Members of my family have killed people in car accidents. Members of my family have died from cirrhosis of the liver. And members of my family have just kind of wasted away, you know, at home or in the hospital. And so I'm the first one that actually gets to be sober. When I came in here, I got a chance to hear people share their stories. And I had a chance to relate their stories to what was going on in my own life. And what had seemed as perfectly normal for 44 years suddenly took on the proportions of being absurd. I looked around. My family was a mess. I was a mess. I was about to lose a job a career. All my cars were dented and scratched. One of them had a burned hood. My house was in foreclosure. I had credit card debt that would stagger an ordinary person. And these things all occurred to me about 3 weeks into going to AA meetings. So thank you all for bringing that to my attention. I'm 7 years sober, and I still remember this guy telling me, "You're going to be amazed at how much money you're going to have." And in 7.5 years, tonight's the first night I've been sitting in front of a pile of money. You know, I don't even know when I started. I was supposed to look. I'm supposed to go for 10 minutes. I feel like I'm probably at about the 6 or 7 minute mark. So one of my sponsees reminded me tonight that I needed to talk about the solution. I don't know what he meant by that. But anyway, so I've been going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings ever since. And I'm talking about the first step, but I've been going to meetings lately where they've been talking about the promises. You know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize if we work for them. I just want to share my opinion with you tonight that I don't think actually having the promises happen in your life, or at least not in my case, is the big deal. It's the opportunity to work for them. I was so close to having your story when I happened to get into Alcoholics Anonymous that it's amazing. You know, I was able to hang on to most of what what little I'd accomplished over my life. And I've been able to, you know, stay clean and sober now for 7.5 years. I've got 6 kids. And I say I'm the only one in recovery, but 2 of them have quit drinking. One of them has done it with the help of a very active church program. One of them has just quit. My wife doesn't go to AA. Her sobriety date is June 29th. She's just quit. I'm not one of these, you know, I'm not an AA Nazi that thinks if you're not getting sober here, you can't get sober. I applaud anyone that gets sober any way they can. I just happen to think that Alcoholics Anonymous is the best way in the world that I know of to get sober and to stay sober. And if you're, you know, if you're new or relatively new, and you felt like I did when I first got here, that you were probably not in the right place, I would encourage you to hang around for a while, because it's amazing how just like you I became just by being willing to listen to your stories. And I want to encourage you all to share your stories with each other. Oftentimes I wake up and I think, you know, maybe it's not as bad as you thought it was. But the fact of the matter is, it was worse. It was worse than I thought it was when I got here. It's worse than I think it is right now. There's nowhere near as much money in those baskets as I think there is. So, and has it been about 10 minutes?
Yeah.
It's been about 10 minutes. Thank you very much for letting me come and share this little bit of my story with you, and I hope to see you all at meetings again.